Hello there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer in the week before the Masters, looking ahead to two tournaments, recapping last week. And first of all, Steve, are you in good form? How are things?
Yes, getting over Thomas Detry's late capitulation in the Corrales Punta Cana. That was extremely disappointing. But yeah, not long to the Masters. One more week to the big one, which I'm sure you're excited about.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, that. I think this is building into an epic golf tournament.
It certainly is. Okay, don't forget, as always, we would love your comments on the show as well. So if you do enjoy the Sweet Spot, do please. Steve, can you remember any of the big four?
I love the way you always pass this buck to give you some thinking time. Yes, rate, review, subscribe.
No, it's not. No,
like.
No. The first two are wrong.
Is it? It's
like, subscribe, share, and comment.
Okay. Let's put a sign up in future.
We should do actually a caption or something. I think there is a caption that comes up actually, but yeah.
A tattoo on your fake forehead or something.
We had the comments last week. Nobody tipped the winner, but there was a good winning tip from our sister product, the Racing and Football Outlook. So we'll come to that. We'll review the action last week, three tournaments, and obviously the big one was the Dell World Match Play, which was won by Sam Burns. I was reading, Steve, that Sam Burns is now 5 wins from his last 49. I guess he hadn't had the best start to the year, had he? But a 6 last week possibly hinted at a return to form. He's a class act at his best, isn't he? And 5 from 49 is not to be sneezed at.
No, for sure. Yeah, he was struggling with his swing this year. He admitted that in his post-victory media conference. I mean, it was the putter that won him the tournament last week. His putter was just sensational. Yeah, he just held everything he looked at. When he's in the zone, he can be a phenomenal putter. That was his WGC match play debut. I mean, yeah, he'd never played in that tournament before, which was surprising. In 2021, he had some injury issues. Last year, he decided to skip it because it came straight after a Valspar when he wanted to freshen up for his Masters. So it would have been a tough one to find on the basis that, yeah, he's one of few in that field who hadn't played before. But he was sensational. But, yes, it's fine margins in match play. I mean, it's very easy to wax lyrical about Sam Burns now. But, you know, Scotty Scheffler had a 5-footer to knock him out, didn't he, in the semi-final. So, fine margins.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think equally he is a player who does have the potential to break into the big league, doesn't he? I mean, he's not particularly old, is he?
For sure. He's still serving his Augusta apprenticeship, isn't he? So it would be a leap of faith to think he's going to win next week. But blessed with an enormous amount of talent and always on your radar for regulation events.
Did you have any other thoughts on the World Match Play?
I thought Cameron Young did incredibly well, and I thought it bode extremely well for the future for Cameron Young, because he's now got Paul Tesori as his caddy. Yeah, Webb Simpson, what a nice man. I mean, I must give Webb Simpson a shout out. I mean, him and Tesori weren't just player caddy, they were like best of friends. And Simpson has said to him basically, I'm struggling, you're not going to make much dough hanging around with me anymore. Go to Cameron Young, who's obviously going to win all sorts. And what an explosive start to that relationship. Yeah, Cameron Young played the best golf of anyone last week. If it was a stroke play event, it would have been away and gone. Had he played that way, he did make that point himself that he probably attacks more in match play. Cameron Young's on our radar for everything, but still a PGA Tour maiden. And in that semi-final, it showed a little, didn't it?
There are a couple of clips of the new caddy really kind of giving him a kind of, not a dressing down, but I always do wonder whether some players miss a trick with having a kind of, not a meek caddy, but a sort of subservient one who's basically there to carry the clubs. And they'll offer a bit of advice, but it's all very much on a take it or leave it basis. Whereas probably you're better off with, like, most sports people have a coach or a manager who's like their boss and tells them what to do. And I do wonder whether perhaps, your caddy should be, your manager, your mentor, your swing coach, your guru, your mind kind of expert, rather than just someone to lug the clubs about.
Yeah. The balance has got to be right in there. And I think these two could be a formidable combination, because Tesori never stops talking, whereas Cameron Young is one of the quietest players on the PGA Tour. He says hardly anything. Probably Brooks Koepka is the only player who says less than Cameron Young. So, yeah, I think they're a perfect blend. We should also discuss caddies later on, because Matt Wallace, of course, who's had a tumultuous relationship with caddies, got the job done in the Corrales.
Well, let's go straight to that. Matt Wallace 25-1 at the outset, and yeah, the week before he was captured on camera. For those who you know, even got the most basic art of lip reading, being fairly rude to his caddy, I suppose, telling him to shut the something up in no uncertain terms. But yeah, he attributed his win last week to more of a calmness, an uncharacteristic calmness.
Well, yeah, it was the same caddy. Yeah, it's a Frenchman called Sam, and yeah, they did have those issues the previous week, but you know, how he held it together down the stretch on Sunday, you know, he was the only player that surged while others were faltering. You know, I mentioned Thomas Detry. I was so disappointed with the finish from Thomas Detry, 2 over par for his final 5 holes. Wyndham Clark is the other one. Wyndham Clark went off a single figure price for that tournament. As soon as he got in the lead, he faltered. Yeah, you know, several times hit the front. He's like a horse who just doesn't know how to kick on from the front. He needs the blinkers or whatever they do. What do they do to horses?
Yeah, they're blinkers. They have all sorts. Cheek pieces.
Cheek pieces. Maybe get him some of them.
Tightless cheek pieces. That would be good, wouldn't it?
It's astonishing because he, as I say, single figure price because his form is so good and so consistent. But yeah, when it came to the crunch, he couldn't do it. And he's never won anything. He's never even won on the Corn Ferry Tour as Wyndham Clark. And yeah, he got serious question marks against his temperament. I thought Detry was worth chancing because at least he's won on the Challenge Tour. He was double the price for starters. He's won the World Cup with Thomas Peters. But Detry's never won the PGA Tour. And again, like, as soon as he got into the lead or just off the lead, he wobbled. Whereas Matt Wallace, you know, a feisty character. He's gone through a lot of caddies. He's, you know, controversial treatment of a lot of caddies. He made 4 birdies in a row from 13th onwards, 13, 14, 15, 16. That burst of 4 birdies in a row won in the golf tournament while all the others were faltering. I thought it was really impressive. And that's a PGA Tour maiden victory for Matt Wallace.
He's now got an exemption, of course. So that's great, isn't it? I think he's tearing it up this week.
Yes, because it didn't get in the Masters, you see. So, yeah, he's trying to win this week to get in the Masters. But, yeah, Matt Wallace won loads of times on the DP World Tour. I mean, what it did show last week is the value of the DP World Tour wins because, you know, Nicolai Højgaard finished second. The two players that were holding it together and surging for the finish were Matt Wallace and Nicolai Højgaard because they won multiple times on the DP World Tour. All the others, yeah, really disappointed.
It's all about that knowing you can win, knowing you can hold it together. And on that subject, my old friend, the guy I used to back every week, David Toms, he won this seniors event as well. Again, a player who knows how to win. It's such an important thing.
Who is good friends with Sam Burns. Yeah. They're both. It's David Toms growing up was one of Sam Burns' heroes because they're both from Louisiana. So, there were correlations everywhere. We want David Toms. Did you have a little tickle on Tomsy?
I didn't, mate. No, do you know what? I've had a little betting break after Cheltenham and I've enjoyed it end. I've really enjoyed it.
I don't blame you.
I didn't have a single golf bet last week for the first time in ages. And I probably would have got involved with David Toms, but I probably would have backed a stack of losers elsewhere. So I don't care. It's nice to have a break, I must say. And then we had what was the other tournament? It was the Johnson Workwear, wasn't it? Which was won by a guy called Nick Backham. And well played to your Racing and Football Outlook colleague, Joe Champion, who put him up at 70-1. Tell us all about Nick Backham.
He is a 23-year-old German who hits the ball an absolute mile. He won as an amateur on the Pro Golf Tour, which is like a feeder tour to the Challenge Tour. And then he got his DP World Tour card at Q School last year. So, we were talking about that course last week, suiting big hitters, and he certainly proved it. And again, like, you had a really congested leaderboard, similar to the Corrales. And then just one man showed, you know, cojones, while the others, the opposite of cojones,
geldings.
he seems to like playing well in South Africa. He was 18th in the SDC Championship the week before, and then last year he was third in the wonderfully named Limpopo Championship on the Challenge Tour. Yeah, he did well in the Limpopo. So yeah, well done.
Were they wearing shorts in that tournament last week or long trousers?
Do you know what? I'd have to get on Getty Images website to find out because it wasn't televised again. Yeah.
Oh,
We should rant about this. Come on, we rant about enough things on this podcast.
I think without having bets these days, I'm a much calmer human being. I don't really rant anymore, mate. So,
you like ranting about the Sky Sports lack of enthusiasm. Surely the lack of enthusiasm doesn't get higher if they don't even show it. And the last 2 weeks has been very, very controversial. DP World Tour action from South Africa. They've just not bothered sending their team.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. We pay the money. We expect to have DP World coverage, don't we? So, yeah, that is poor, really. I mean, couldn't they even just import a local feed? Someone must have been broadcasting.
Yeah, it was on Super Sport or something.
Well, there you go, then.
Super Sport. I don't know what the hell's going on, if I could use fucking blaspheme. Because
you certainly, yeah, we can allow it.
I'm angry about how much I pay for my Sky. And I want to watch DP World Tour events. They are that's the deal. That's the deal I thought we had, Rupert.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I just thought, you know, with Oki Strydom surging up the leaderboard, I wondered whether they were wearing shorts or not, because we noticed, didn't we, the two tournaments that he's won, the link was that they wear short trousers for that. So we don't know.
Good point. I think possibly I'll look into it for you.
And on the subject of apparel, did I send you that tweet that someone brought to my attention about visor wearers and how they're becoming an endangered species, aren't they? And this guy is obviously very time rich, because he's done a full massive sort of data analysis of golfers' headgear, and the visor wearers are absolutely, you know, a dying breed. It was very interesting actually as well, this piece. I didn't realise this, that caps are a pretty new phenomenon in golf. Did you know that? Basically, Corey Pavin, who's, you know, we all remember Corey Pavin. He's one of the sort of trailblazers for hat wearing.
Yeah. I whenever I've got a downer on visors and I speak to a visor loyalist, there's not many of them left, they often bring up the your Fred Couples. And Severiano Balestieroff. The visor was really popular with elite players in the past. But
was Langer a visor wearer?
Yes. Good point well made. But these days, as that fella pointed out in his chart, you know, no member of the elite, you know, Keith Mitchell is officially the best visor wearer, isn't he?
Yeah. So they should maybe just have a special open for visor wearers, or one for people who don't wear any hair, because Graham Rotten, Robert Rock would be perfect for that, wouldn't he? He's just retired. Yeah. He could come out of retirement for that, couldn't he?
He could. Ollie Schneider Jans, he didn't wear anything.
And yet, have you noticed that when it's like a team event or the Olympics and they're not allowed to have, they're quite happy not to have a hat.
Yeah.
So the hat is really just a commercial thing. And I think it's a false economy, because if you wear a cap too much, you lose your hair. So I don't think it's worth it, personally.
Yeah. Funny you should say that. You are wearing one right now, aren't you?
I've got a Pixwise hat. Yeah, our sister product in America. So if you want good golf tips from Diane Knox-Ballas, you can get Pixwise tips every week. Right then, are we done with our review section of the show, Steve?
I think we are. I mean, we've got a Masters on the horizon. We haven't even mentioned Scotty Scheffler or Rory McIlroy, but should we save them for the Masters?
Well, we can do, yeah. If you've got nothing to say about them, there's no point, is there? We don't have to mention them every week. I was just looking at the Masters, Steve, and obviously you're not going to give your tips away, but on the latest betting, the bookmakers reckon it's about a 7-4 shot that Rory, Scotty Scheffler or Big Johnny Rahm wins the Masters. Just, I mean, like I say, you might tip one of them, but does that 7-4, one of those three wins, seem a little short to you?
All I say is it's a fascinating market, isn't it? Because it's just, don't you find it fascinating just how each one is slightly bigger than the other in world ranking order now? So you've got the world number one, then you've got slightly bigger the world number two, slightly bigger the world number three. I just found that fascinating, I must say.
Very much so. Well, we've got two fascinating tournaments this week to look at, and Steve very much will be giving us his opinions on those. And we'll start with the Valero Texas Open, a standard 72-hole stroke play event starting on Thursday afternoon. And we've got a Brit at the head of the betting. Tyrrell Hatton is 12-1. And then it's 18-1, Ricky Fowler, 20, Siwoo Kim and Corey Connors, 22, Davis Riley, 25, Hideki Matsuyama and Taylor Montgomery. Matt Kuchar's 28, 33 bar. So not the most stellar field of all time, but loads of decent names in there. Steve, before we get the tips, tell us all about the venue, the conditions, what sort of player may thrive.
It's the Oaks course at TPC San Antonio in Texas, 7,494 yards, par 72, four par fives, got a field of 144 going to post. This tournament has been played at this course since 2010. It's long. It used to be extremely demanding, but they widened the fairways before the 2018 edition. There's a bit of light rain in the forecast early on this week, should soften the course. The weekend forecast is very calm in Texas terms. So I think we're going to see lots of birdies. So, big hitters who putt well.
A big hitters who putt well. Right then, how many selections have you got?
Sorry, I've not got enough spunk. No, I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, I'm exhausted. Yeah, for various reasons, I'm exhausted. Oh, just life, work-life balance, parenting, being a parent of two young children. They really exhausted me this weekend. So I can't. I don't know if I can muster the four. I just don't know if I can justify.
Okay, we can just say a calm four. That's okay.
A calm four. Yeah, I've got four selections.
All right then, fair enough. Right then, who do you like the most?
I love Ricky Fowler at 18-1, who needs to win this to get into the Masters. And could we be on for a fabulous Fowler fortnight? Bit of a tongue twister. I think it's entirely feasible. Remember, he finished runner-up in the Masters in 2018. I think, yeah, we could see something special over the next fortnight. The consistency has returned to Fowler now. Butch Harmon, we all love Butch Harmon. He's got Fowler swinging freely again. And, yeah, it may not even be technique. It may just be that, you know, the words that Harmon puts in Fowler's brain.
A nice sort of soothing attaboy, Ricky.
Yeah, I think he could get me playing well. You know, he just free me up. Like, I'm full of swing thoughts when I'm over the ball. You're probably the same. Yeah. If I just have Butch saying something like that,
We talked about last week, didn't we? Scheffler saying that, you know, when his caddy said to him, right, you know, just remember this, God is in control of everything. But I think I'd probably choose Butch Harmon to have my back. You know, I think nothing could go wrong if you knew Butch was, you know, following you around and watching your every move. Yeah. What a man.
Yeah. I think he's got it's magic dust that he sprinkles on these players. But Fowler is definitely swinging with more freedom, and he looks good now. He finished second in the Zozo Championship in the middle of October. From that event onwards, so that's a spell of 9 tournaments. His worst finish is 54th place. He's had 5 top 20s in that run. He was 13th in the Players' Championship elite field in his last stroke play start. And last week, loads of positives to take from last week. You know, he beat John Rahm for Pete's sake. You know, I know John Rahm didn't putt well in that match, but you know, if proof is needed that the Fowler comeback is nearly complete. You know, beating John Rahm is it. He also beat Keith Mitchell. He lost to Billy Horschel, finished second in the group. I think, you know, Fowler is clearly ready to rumble, and TPC San Antonio is a good fit. He finished 17th in both of his first 2 starts at TPC San Antonio. Miscut last year can be disregarded. He was completely lost as a golfer before going back to Butch. He's got the sparkle back. This is a former world number 4 in a rubbish field.
Nice one. Very convincing case there for Ricky Fowler. I think 18-1 is about the best out there at the moment, is it?
You're absolutely correct. You're on the ball.
Jolly good. Main danger?
It's Davis Riley. It was a toss-up between the two. 22-1 best now. There'd be money for Riley. It's understandable. Surely he's going to become a PGA Tour champion soon. And then I think the floodgates will open from there. I think we're looking at a multiple PGA Tour winner and major champion. And where better for the breakthrough to come than TPC San Antonio? It is the last of his Korn Ferry Tour wins came at this week's venue. There was a one-off TPC San Antonio event on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2020. Riley won that by 2 shots. He's a Mississippi lad. He went to college in Alabama. He loves competing in these southern states. He was 4th at Colonial last year. He was 9th in the Byron Nelson. Back in Texas this week with a month of excellent form behind him. 29th in the Honda Classic. 8th at Bay Hill. 19th in the Valspar. Last week, we saw flashes of that brilliance that I've been banging on about for years in the match play. He got a terrible group in the match play. Scottie Scheffler first up. How's your luck? He took Scheffler to the 18th green. Then he beat Tom Kim. Feather in your cap, beating Tom Kim. And then he tied with Alex Noren. So the only player that beat Davis Riley last week in the match play was the world number 1. He's playing well. It's a Fowler v. Riley shootout for me.
How many more chances are you giving Davis?
He's playing well, Bruce. I'm not giving up. He's just got such a perfect swing and it's so much ability. You know,
is this one of those ones where if you did desert him and he won, you'd just be kicking yourself all around Weymouth?
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't stop kicking myself until the Masters started. So, we can't take that risk.
Okay, mate. Right, so we've got Fowler. We've got Mavis Riley. Who's next?
It's the 33-1, which I think is a very fair price, about JJ Spawn. I think Fowler and Riley will have this between them, but JJ Spawn is going to give a very stout title defence, I believe, because he's a much improved player. He's fitter than he's ever been. He's more successful than he's ever been. He's already had 5 top 20s this season. He was 5th on his Century Tournament of Champions debut in January. He had a little dip in form after leaving Hawaii, but last week, you know, like with Riley, really encouraging performance in the match play. He beat Matt Fitzpatrick 5-3. He beat Sahith Theegala 5-4. Cool. Then he beat Minwoo Lee 2-1. So that's three really tidy scalps that he's taken in to dominate that group. He was 15 under par for 46 holes in the group stages. No disgrace to going out in the knockout stages to Xander Schauffele, obviously a class opponent, lost in the last 16s. So I think it's an ideal confidence boost. I like the players that didn't go, you don't want to be going too far. I mean, Sam Burns could hardly speak in the media conference after. It's an exhausting tournament that, you know, 7 rounds in 5 days if you go all the way. But I think that the players I've got this week have taken confidence from the match play without being exhausted.
Okay, right then, jolly good. And who's the fourth tip?
It's Pearson Coody at 150-1. I think 150-1 is an insulting price about Pearson Coody. I think he's destined for stardom. Former world number one amateur, already a two-time winner on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's only 23. I think he's pure class. He was 14th in the Arnold Palmer Invitational earlier this month. Remember, we chanced him at a massive price in the Valspar. Missed the cut by a shot, but he made 10 birdies that week at, you know, a really difficult golf course. He just had a disastrous little spell in the middle of round one. I think Coody's a birdie machine. I think a soft, long track in Texas is ideal for him. He's a Texas lad. He was a stud at University of Texas. He's played in a college event at this course and played well. He'd be licking his lips at this opportunity. And I think the reason we're getting such a big price is he missed the cut last week in a Corn Ferry Tour event. I don't think his noggin was right for that. You know, he knew he was going to be playing in the Texas Open. I think his mind was wandering forward to what a massive opportunity he had this week. I would disregard the missed cut last week.
Okay. Finally, we ought to talk about the favourite, Mr. Hatton. What do you think of his chances?
Well, interesting, because he's 12-1. I think it's a poor price. He was struggling with a hand injury on the driving range prior to the match play last week. Yeah, anyone who backed Hatton last week, I felt sorry for him because there was no clue about this hand injury. And then just before the coverage started, they were saying he's going to give it a go. You know, he's talking as if he might have to withdraw. I think
that's
it got better. It got better as the week wore on, apparently. But it's a concern. It's a concern you don't want. He lost all three matches last week against relatively weak opposition. So. Texas Open debut. Yeah, I quickly passed over Hatton. I think Fowler and Riley are much better bets.
Okay, there is no DP World Tour action this week, or indeed next week, because obviously it's the Masters next week. But we do have a LIV event. It's the LIV Golf Orlando. The usual format, 3 rounds, 48 players, begins on Friday. And it's very, very open this now. Dustin Johnson, 11-1. Joachim Niemann, 12-1. Sorry, Cam Smith's also 11-1. Mito Pereira, 14. Paul Casey, 16. Charles Howell, the third, who's resurgent. Charles Howell, the third, must have earned more money this year than he has in the rest of his career put together. He's 18-1. So's Abraham Answer. So's Taylor Gooch. It's 20-1 bar. I mean, yeah, it's pretty wide open field this, Steve, despite only being 48 runners. Tell us all about the course details before we get your fancies.
Well, while it's fresh in my head, I'll just mention that Charles Howell, the third, won about $43 million in his PGA Tour career, but he never, what he won at LIV Golf Mayakoba, he won like $4.5 million. He'd never won that in a whole season at the PGA Tour. So he won more than he's ever won in a whole PGA Tour season in 1 week at the LIV Golf. But money can't buy you love. And we'll move on to the course details. Crooked Cat.
Crooked Cat. Yeah. I mean, we've had Cameron Champ, the golfer who sounds like a greyhound. Now we've got a golf course that sounds like a greyhound.
Well, I have no idea why it's called Crooked Cat. I mean, I don't know whether there was some cat who lived on the premises who was a bit deceitful and was a bit of a, you know, stole things off the punters. I don't know, but I mean, what is a crooked cat? Like, physically, you couldn't have a cat that was crooked cat. Yeah, I was wondering about this. You could have a bent leg, I suppose.
Yeah, I would imagine maybe if you look at the course map from above, perhaps it does somehow resemble a crooked cat. But I mean, it's like that's like those sort of constellations of stars, isn't it? Everyone goes, oh, that's the plough or that's the whatever. You know, you just see a bunch of white dots, isn't it? How can you tell me that looks like a plough? It's nonsense.
Yeah. I think it's more likely to be a cat that was prone to thievery, but I will look into that. I don't have time to look into that yet. But we're Crooked Cat, Orange County National. Right. Orlando, Florida. We all know Orlando.
Jack Reeves in Orlando at the moment. He's playing golf.
Jack Reeves is going to LIV Golf. He's going to it.
Oh, wow. We need to get him to find out why it's called Crooked Cat then, don't we?
We need to get him to find out why it's called Crooked Cat. And, yeah, we can get a report on what going to a LIV Golf event is like. I've never been to a LIV Golf event. I'll be interested to know how he gets on. If we could put that into our Masters feature next week. But yeah, Crooked Cat, I mean, come on, 7,297 yards, par 71, three par fives. You know, we've not got much course form to go, and it staged three rounds of the 2007 PGA Tour Q Schools Finals. Dustin Johnson earned his tour card at this venue. He finished 14th in that event. Brendan Steele was languishing in 100th place. He's the only other player that's playing this week. Generous fairways, large contoured greens, light to moderate breezes. So, yeah, I think a powerhouse can overwhelm this track.
And remind everyone how they can watch the action.
It's Live Golf Plus, yeah, from Friday, 6:15 p.m. start on Friday. Live Golf Plus on the app.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. How many tips have you got?
I've got two.
Righto, fire away with your main man.
And you could sense how excited I was when you brought up the subject of Charles Howell III, because I really like his chances this week.
Excellent. And
it's heartwarming for me to be able to back him again, because you know he's always been one of my favourites.
I know.
And you can back him at 18-1, easy to back at 18-1. He's producing some of the best golf of his career. He's loving life, being part of the Crushers team. There's great camaraderie in the Crushers.
So who else is in the Crushers?
He's got Paul Casey, Bryson DeChambeau, and Anirban Lahiri. Yeah, they seem like the happiest bunch on earth. In Live Golf Mayakoba, it was a procession. I mean, Charles Howell shot a final round 63, won by four shots. It was vintage Howell. And then in Live Golf Tucson, last time out, he threatened to double up. He eventually finished fifth, but there's a real spring in the step of Chucky Three Sticks. At the age of 43, he's still a young man in relative terms. And his golf is getting him noticed, Bruce. This is, I've used the word fascinating a lot here, but I can't think of a better one. It's fascinating that the rumor doing the rounds on Planet Golf is that Chucky's going to get an Augusta invite, a Masters invite due to the quality of his play on Live Golf. Yeah, because remember, the Augusta bigwigs are a law unto themselves. It's entirely up to them who gets invited to the Masters. And Charles Howell III is born in Augusta. The members are very fond of Charles Howell III. He's an Augusta native. And rumours abound that he may get an invite to the Masters.
That'd put a Crooked Cat among the pigeons, wouldn't it?
It surely would. I mean, I'm looking forward to this Masters for many reasons, but the sort of hostility that there's going to be at the champions dinner and I can imagine dinner plates being thrown over people. There's going to be some tempers in there. You're going to have Fred Couples in the champions dinner who a couple of weeks ago called Phil Mickelson a nut job. You're going to have Phil Mickelson and Fred Couples in the same room. You're going to have Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed in the same room.
Tremendous, isn't it? And of course, we having watched the full swing, we really get a good idea. It's genuine enmity, this, isn't it? It's not just some sort of pantomime hatred. It's real.
Well, yeah, on the full swing, Rory McIlroy used the F word in reference to Phil Mickelson. I think that it's going to go on for like 3 hours, that champions dinner, and it's going to be tense as anything. You know, poor old Scotty Scheffler, one of the nicest men in the world, he's hosting that dinner. And
he'll be trying to say grace, won't he? And there'll be food flying across.
Chicken drumsticks clattering
off
his
head. Wow.
So, throwing Charles Howell into the mix will just add an extra bit of spice to that. And, I hope they do it because, as I say, I love Charles Howell. And he'll know that victory at Live Golf Orlando, could be the final push that the Augusta bigwigs need to get into the Masters. And what a chance for Charles, because he's lived in Orlando for more than 20 years. He was born in Augusta. He just after his college years, he moved to Orlando. He's got course knowledge. The two players I'm backing for this, I've got more course knowledge than anyone else in the field.
Righto. So one of them is Charles Howell. The other one is?
The other one is Sam Horsfield, who Jack Reeves. Jack Reeves a big
Jack
fan
Reeves
of him.
Backed him, hasn't he? Yeah.
Jack Reeves will be very excited watching Sam Horsfield win this golf tournament. He's 100-1 on the basis of, unspectacular recent form. But, course knowledge, again, is going to have a huge bearing on this. He's lived in Orlando from the age of five. He grew up 5 minutes away from Orange County National. He was a superstar junior in Florida. He won the Florida State Amateur at the age of 16. He starred at Florida State University. He's got on to become a DP World Tour star, three-time winner on the DP World Tour. Now he's only 26, still improving. He's looking for that maiden Live Golf win. And, how comfortable and inspired he's going to be at Orange County National. It seems entirely feasible it comes this week. His best PGA Tour performance came at Bay Hill. Florida is the place to follow Sam Horsfield. And yeah, I think Jack Reed's going to have a wild old time.
Yeah, sounds good. I can't wait to hear what Jack says. It's about time Jack did one of these, actually, isn't it? I think I've got a bit of time off quite soon, so I'm sure he'll be in the chair before too long.
We'll hear all about it. But so yeah, if you back Sam Horsfield 100 to 1 with a decent stake, then yeah, you might not need to get in any chairs anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah, quite. All right, then, anything else to add?
I think Dustin Johnson will play better. I mean, as you say, the market's interesting. These old live markets used to be Johnson and Smith, Cameron Smith at like 5-1 favourites. They're both 12-1 this week due to a lack of form. Johnson was a bit better last time out, finished 13th, and he's played well in the PGA Tour Q School this course. And surely he would have been practicing now. The thing with Dustin is he's carefree, enjoys life, and live golf has allowed him to let his hair down even more than he used to. But with the Masters on the horizon, surely he would have been, you know, getting himself tuned up. So, yeah, I think Johnson's tempting at 12-1. Cameron Smith is not tempting at all at 12-1 because he had that wrist problem that we mentioned last week in Tucson.
Fresh defectors, Steve. Are we expecting there to be a bit of an impasse on that until after? Because we're about to enter that four-month burst where there's majors and elevated events and all sorts, aren't we? So would you think that's it for the time being?
Yeah, I can't see any defectors till the end of the season, really. I think it's
All right, should we reiterate the tips then? Who'd you like for the Valero Texas Open?
I like Ricky Fowler, Davis Riley, JJ Spawn and Pearson Coody.
And for the Live Golf Orlando?
Charles Howell, the carpet, and Sam Horsfield.
Lovely stuff. Okay, well, let us know who you fancy in the comments at the bottom. Like I say, if you enjoy the show, we'd love you to hit that thumbs up button. Right, what have you got between now and Masters time?
Working and parenting, yeah, both challenging tasks, working and parenting. I've enjoyed taking Tommy goes down the snooker club now. You know, the golf career's on hold a little bit. We enjoy going down the snooker club and playing, shooting some pools. So, yeah, that's my new passion.
Yeah, wow, because he's had a go at darts as well, hasn't he? Now it's snooker.
You're
chance, ain't you? Like Emma Raducanu's dad. She played a wide range of sports before settling on tennis.
Did she? Oh, right. Yeah. That's.
Are you a member of a snooker club?
No. With the pool, you don't need to be a member. You can go and play the pool tables. But he's not tall enough for the snooker table, so we get membership then. But yeah, the thing with golf is you've got to be absolutely loaded and have loads of time in your hands, isn't it, to develop a golfer. I've sort of realised that snooker and darts might be more straightforward for him.
How old is he?
He's three.
Right, okay. Well, I'm sure he'll settle on something, won't he? Is he showing any ability at football?
Yeah, he likes kicking a football around, yeah, in the garden. But yeah,
has Weymouth ever produced a great footballer? Who would be the best footballer ever to come out of Weymouth?
What, the actual team or the town?
The town.
The town, yeah, good question. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, the team's had Andy Townsend and Sean Teal and Tony Agar. Weymouth FC's got a proud history of producing world-class talent, but the actual, people being born here, I don't know. No, not many. He handled the atmosphere of the snooker club well, because you worry about taking a young lad in the snooker club. It was St. Patrick's Day the other day, and it's full of, like, Irish, not even Irishmen, any excuse, Irishmen celebrating St. Patrick's Day and getting tanked up and that. And he showed no fear, and that encouraged me. At 3 years old in a busy snooker club full of pissheads, he showed no fear.
I'm surprised people would choose a snooker club to go for a bit of St. Patrick's Day revelry. I mean, it seems a bit like going to a library or something, or a church. I mean, it's a place of peace and calm, isn't it?
Oh, you'd be surprised. No. I mean, the drink price is always very competitive in snooker clubs. So I think that's probably the main reason. We had a toast to Ken Doherty and Dennis Taylor and whatnot,
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Well, look, I mean, the one thing we do need is for it to blooming warm up. It's horrible, isn't it?
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. I mean, I mean, you talk about Jack Reeve in Orlando, and
I know.
And here we are getting, it just never stops raining, does it?
No, it's not good. But never mind that. Hopefully there'll be a ray of sunshine coming from the golf courses in Orlando and in Texas. Good luck with the tips this week, Steve. Good luck with all your Masters preparation. I look forward to hearing the fruits of your labour next Tuesday when we bring you a Masters special sweet spot. Do please join us for that.